Hello, everyone. Welcome or welcome back to another episode of In Bloom Podcast. My name is Abby Aslan. If you are new here, and I am the host of this podcast, or actually, I should probably say my name is Abby Weinstein now, and I don't totally know what I'm going to be doing with that on social media with changing my name. If you are new here, I am getting married on New Year's Eve, but when this episode comes out, I will already be married, and I don't really know what I'm doing on social media yet because I don't really want to change any of my usernames because there's just so much in terms of connections with brands and just my overall personal brand recognition that it messes with when I do change a last name. So I think I'll probably leave my usernames the same, but when you go to my profile, it'll say, you know, Abby Aslan Weinstein or something like that. So yeah, but it's weird for me to be speaking on behalf of myself in the future just because I'm having to pre-record basically all of these episodes that you're hearing end of December and beginning of January because of the wedding and because of going on my honeymoon. So you get the idea. But this week we are diving into my 2024 resolutions, goals, habits, whatever you want to call them. And I've divided them up into five different pillars. So we're going to be diving into each one of those pillars, and I encourage you all to kind of identify pillars that you either want to continue things in or you want to make changes in, or really just your focal points in your overall life. And I think that for the most part, we all tend to have a lot of crossover in the pillars that we choose. But obviously, you know, different variables such as whether or not you have a family, whether or not you work a full-time job, things like that can really make your pillars look different. But we're going to go through mine. And without further ado, I kind of just want to jump into the episode. I'm going to share my word of the year. If y'all have been listening the last couple of years, I've been sharing a word of the year at the beginning of each year just because I find it so helpful to kind of have a baseline in times of stress when there's a lot going on and you feel like you're just really off track with a lot of your goals, whether it's the first month of the year, the sixth month of the year, or at the end of the year, and you just really feel like you can't even remember any of your goals or you just don't really know where you're at. It's really helpful to have a word to fall back on that you can always revert back to and remind yourself of when you're making decisions throughout the year and when you are in times where you're trying to set goals for yourself. If you're like refreshing your goals each month or whatever, it's important to sort of have something that can serve as a baseline in that sense. And it's been really helpful for me over the last few years. And it's not necessarily something that I live and breathe by day, but it's more so of just a focus word that I want to really pay a lot of mind and attention to and be really intentional with throughout the year. And it just helps me be a lot more intentional with my goal setting, my decision making, and everything like that. And I believe in the past, last year, 2023, my word was align. And I talked about that in the episode talking about like my 2023 year in review. And I believe the year before that was heal. And then this year, I'm going to be focusing on the word restore. And I actually had a really hard time picking a word this year. A lot of times, words just kind of like come to mind when I'm doing random things when I'm reflecting on the year, and it's that easy for me to think of one. But this year I had several, and I'll share the several that I was thinking of with you all. But the five that kind of came to mind when I was sitting down and brainstorming for this were the words peace, restore, stillness, surrender, and clarity. And they all kind of have an underlying theme that's very similar. And to me, that's just, you know, kind of peace and stillness. I feel like restore kind of is tied to that. Surrender is tied to that. Clarity is tied to that because with clarity, I can find more peace. Through surrendering, I can find more peace. Being still, I can find more peace. Restoring myself, I can find more peace. You get the idea. So I think peace is honestly the broader theme, but to be a little bit more intentional and to be a little bit more specific with the word, I chose the word restore because I felt like that was overarching across all of these pillars that I'm going to be diving into today and really applied to each one of them individually and collectively to myself as a whole. And if you are new here and you haven't heard any of my content before, I am a CPA and I worked at a big four firm for 2 years and I just put in my 2 weeks 2 weeks ago and I had my last day of work yesterday actually from the day I'm recording this. And I have been a content creator for 7 years. It's kind of just always been a side thing for me. And I'm in this transitional phase of life where doing my YouTube channel and my podcast and social media is what I'm doing for the time being as I transition to find a job that's more in alignment with my core values and with what I want my career to look like long term. So I'm very fortunate to be in this position to take my time with this process rather than having to just jump into the first thing available for the sake of being able to pay bills. So I'm very thankful for that. But that's a little bit about me. And then also, as you all just heard, I am getting married on New Year's Eve. So really starting out 2024 as a whole new woman, as a married woman, as, you know, a partially unemployed woman, at least unemployed from the corporate world. And, you know, I'm still the same me at the end of the day, but truly entering a new chapter, honestly jumping into an entirely new book, if we're being completely honest. We closed the last couple of chapters of the last book, and we are quite literally jumping into a new book. And that's kind of how I'm viewing the year of 2024. And if you're a frequent listener, then you know that I typically go through a quote for the week and a goal and gratitude. But just because I've been having to record, I recorded like 3 podcasts in the last week at this point, and I'm not going to be sharing my goal and gratitude that actually span across the same singular week, because that's just redundant, and then I'm just coming up with things for the sake of having something to say. So I could still share a quote, but just because I know that this is probably going to be a longer episode, like a lot of my recent episodes have been, I would love to just go ahead and jump into the episodes so that we can get going. So the first pillar I am focusing on in 2024 for my goals and habits is personal. And this is kind of just everything tied to my hobbies, my personal habits, my travel plans and desires, and just kind of my inner self, my inner being. And the very first thing with personal is to do either one home project or kind of fix our existing problems in our home. I at least want to do one of those things this year. I'm not being too ambitious just because I know a lot of things cost a lot of money to fix. So we really need to fix our back door because it's basically like stuck shut and locked and we can't really use it. So we really need to get that fixed. And that's probably going to be the number one priority if I'm being completely honest. But we think we need to completely replace the frame and the door. So I think it's going to be a little costly, but it is what it is. If we can do that, that would be great. If not, I would love to focus on just finishing decorating our home because we moved into a townhouse in October of 2022. It was a really busy time for work for me and for my fiance, and we were, you know, just getting started with planning a wedding and everything. And I just really didn't feel like we really fully decorated. We just don't really have anything on the walls. I would love to really take the time that I actually now have with not having my corporate job anymore to thrift around and find some things that we can use in our home. I love thrifting little trinkets and artwork and furniture when I can. I have this like love-hate relationship with thrifting because I do feel like sometimes when you are taking somebody's things that were once their own, this might sound like a little woo-woo, but I promise it's not. It's just kind of something that I think about. I'm like, okay, I do feel like if something was in someone's home, you know, it has their, like, one, if it's a piece of furniture, it, like, has that person's smell and kind of everything. I don't know. It's just weird to think of having, like, an entirely different person's belongings in your own home and, like, having no idea who owned it before you, what it went through, that kind of thing. Not saying that, like, things are haunted or anything, but I do think about, does anybody else think about that when they thrift? Because I'll, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, wow, it's definitely an interesting phenomenon to just like think about. But that being said, I still do it. I just definitely think about it when I buy something. I'm like, I wonder what this piece of art's past life looked like. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, all right, you're coming home with me and you're starting a new one. But what did your life look like before me, basically? So I want to utilize like Facebook Marketplace, go thrifting, finish decorating. We really don't have a ton left to do, but we definitely need to get some stuff on the walls because I think that that can really help a home feel homey and ultimately just have one home project, whether that's fixing the door that we really need to fix or doing something smaller. Would love to do that. We really want to DIY some things, but at the same time, I don't want to take the cheap road for DIYing things because in the long term, that's just not the best investment for your money. And I want whatever we do to be something that is timeless and lasts and is of good quality. So if that's not in the budget this year, which, you know, I don't really know yet, I don't want to throw money at it. You know what I mean? So the next thing is to follow a cleaning schedule, which I know I've talked about a lot on the podcast and on my YouTube channel. I just really feel like I totally abandoned my ability to integrate cleaning into our routine, especially in the last quarter of the year with being so busy with wedding planning. So I'm really hoping to just kind of have something that my fiance and I, like, we each have our own little tasks each, like, or every other day, for example. Because I don't think it's necessarily something I want to do every single day. I would like to follow the concept of doing a 15-minute cleanup or tidy session before going to bed, because I just think that it can be really beneficial to help wake up in a less disorganized space, and overall just, you know, helps your mood because of that. So definitely want to follow some sort of cleaning schedule, but I don't want to be too strict on myself about it, because sometimes when I create too many routines in my life, it makes me want to just kind of throw them all out the window and, you know, do something totally wild, because I do think too much of a good thing can be a bad thing. And one of those things is having, you know, too many routines in my eyes. So I don't want to be so rigid and so structured, but I at least want to have like a loose template to follow. The next thing is to get all the formalities and legalities of changing my name and getting married done. I know that this is a very lengthy and tedious process, but I think that it's something I definitely need to sort of jump into sooner rather than later with having more free time on my hands. I put one of those name change boxes on our registry, and as of right now, like, we haven't received it, which is totally fine, but I genuinely think there's probably enough resources online and on TikTok nowadays that I can figure it out for myself. And since I'll have the time, you know, I can just sit down and take the time to do it. But I want to be good about staying on top of that and getting it done. And the next thing is to make time for non-productive hobbies. So I have mentioned at some other point this year that I really wanted to get into coloring, which, let me go ahead and Google the name of the book, 'cause I feel like I've mentioned this coloring book so many times and I never have the actual name of it, which just isn't helpful. It's called Bobby Goods, and it's kind of an adult coloring book. I hesitate to say adult because that makes it sound almost kind of provocative, but that's not what I'm saying. It's more so just for like adults to color in. Like, it's not going to be, you know, princesses and dragons and things like that. They're just themed. There's like a Home for the Holidays one, or actually that's not the Bobby Goods ones, whatever. There's different themes for them, and there are coloring books, and I think that that's something I could really enjoy doing to help relieve stress, and just something that is non-productive and really connects me with my inner child and the things I love to do as a child, because I think a lot of our hobbies as adults, a good place to start when you're trying to find the hobbies that you like to do as adults is to think of the things that you did or enjoyed doing when you were younger. So coloring is one of those things. So I kind of want to get one of those coloring books and try it out. But at the same time, I have a doodle planner for the first time this year, so keeping up with that's probably going to be a lot in and of itself for me. So maybe we'll do one step at a time. But the next thing, or the not the next thing, the other aspect of non-productive hobbies I wanted to touch on was playing my Nintendo Switch more, which it's so funny because me sitting here saying these things, I feel like it's not myself talking because I'm just so used to just being so productive all the time. And even like this week, it's currently Christmas Eve Eve, and I have been so stressed the last 2 days. And it's a different kind of stress because it's not necessarily like I have an external deadline on me. I'm like setting these internal deadlines myself to get all my podcast episodes ready before like next Wednesday, because I at least want to have, you know, Wednesday and Thursday and Friday before the wedding, because people start coming in town Friday. So I want to have those days to like really be present, and my family will be in town. So just kind of don't want to have to do anything then. So I kind of need to have everything done by Tuesday, but I'm over here panicking because tomorrow's Christmas Eve, the next day's Christmas. I have like two or three videos I need to edit between now and then. I need to record this podcast, preferably one more, and finish editing some short form content as well in order for me to have all of the content that I want ready. And that's just a lot. I think I'm putting a lot of pressure on myself to do all of this. And I've had so many of y'all say, like, please just enjoy the season. Like, don't worry about your uploads and everything. And I'm not doing it because, like, I'm like, oh, I can't miss a week or anything. That's not why I'm doing it. it's, well, one, I don't want to like leave y'all completely hanging with no content for like a month. And I know it's doable for me to at least get some of it pre-filmed and pre-edited. So I'm totally fine if there's, you know, a week of the podcast or a week of a YouTube video that's skipped during this time just because of the circumstances. But with all of that being said, I really love this time of year when it comes to content creation, just with the reflecting on the past year and creating content for the new year. And I just feel like it's a small time window where you have to kind of crank that content out. And I'm trying to capitalize on it by like getting it all done at once so that I can do all of the videos I had planned to do and wanted, like truly wanted to take the time to do, because I feel like it's nonsense to be uploading a 2024 January resetting for the new year related video, for example, at the end of January. But in reality, I just need to, you know, stop creating these, you know, false rules in my head and just do what I want to do without overloading myself, because there's clearly obviously a lot going on with it being so close to the wedding and trying to do it. So at this point, I'm just doing what I can, and it is what it's going to be basically, but hopefully I can at least get it to where I'm only skipping, you know, like a week for YouTube and a week for the podcast. But anyways, the other non-productive hobby was playing my Switch, which I have Animal Crossing. I was a huge, 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 huge Animal Crossing player growing up. I mean, some of my earliest and fondest memories were playing that game on GameCube with my brother when I was like, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years old, and then playing it on DS, and didn't really play it a ton on the Wii because I didn't like it as much on the Wii, but absolutely loved it on DS and on my GameCube. And I have it on my Switch, and I honestly haven't played it in probably like a year and a half, 2 years maybe. And I absolutely love the game. It's just very calming, and I don't know, it's just one of those things that's nostalgic, and playing it just heals my inner child in a way. But I recently found out that there's, you know, all these other kind of similar vibe games for the Switch that are very cozy, and they're kind of non-productive, so they're just supposed to be like lower stress. And there's one called Lemon Cake where you like run your own bakery, and that just sounds like a dream to me, because there's this one girl I follow on TikTok, and I can't think of her name, but she's currently taking like a break from TikTok and everything right now, but she decorates cakes and she just makes the best videos, and I'm sure a lot of y'all have seen her because she's very popular, I feel like, on TikTok and has a lot of followers. But I could watch her content of baking and decorating cakes all day long, and the bakery one, just the aesthetics of it looks amazing, like the colors and just the graphics and everything from what I've seen in the game Lemon Cake. And I just think that I would also really love it because it reminds me of maybe a lower stress Cooking Mama. I also loved Cooking Mama when I was little, so I think that that's something that would be similar that I could get into and play. And I'm not sitting here saying I want to necessarily like do these things for many, many hours every week, but just pick up the hobby, because I quite literally have not made time to consistently engage in a non-productive hobby since probably high school. And I guess you could probably say my YouTube channel, starting that out my freshman year of college, was a non-productive hobby, but it very quickly turned into a productive hobby. So I think that it could be very healing for myself and restorative for myself to jump into some non-productive hobbies. And I just realized I didn't even kind of dive into why I wanted to do the word restore, but I think it kind of speaks for itself. You know, personally, I'm wanting to restore because if you listen to my Why I Quit My Job episode, I was really talking a lot about how I felt like my light had completely gone out and just been diminished from working that job and overworking myself. And I neglected so many things in my life. I neglected aspects of my mental health and my emotional health. I neglected my social life in a lot of ways. There were times that I was neglecting my relationship, and I'm wanting to restore all of those relationships with friends and the parts that I've, you know, been slacking in my personal relationship and then in my relationship with myself. And I want to, you know, restore my finances after spending so much money on wedding related things this year and not really being able to save very much, and restore my career by looking at options that align a lot better with what I want to do long term and align with my core values. Restore my social life, just all of these different things I just really want to pour into because they've just been neglected over the last year, especially. So that's kind of why I chose the word restore. And I just thought it worked for all of my different pillars. But going off of that, the next thing is to stick to doodle journaling. And I got the Amanda Rach Lee doodle journal, which shout out to Jenna Hong because she first introduced me to it. And I just fell in love with this doodle journal. And I'm actually going to have a YouTube video, which I filmed part of it, but I haven't finished doing it. And I'm kind of planning on sitting down and sitting in my office tonight and just kind of trying to get through more of the doodle journal for the month of January so that I can get this video up. But it's dark right now and I do have like a light I can use to film the rest of it, but I already started filming it when it was naturally light outside and with the light, so I don't want the lighting to be completely different for the video. So with that being said, this episode is probably going to go up before that video goes up on my YouTube channel, but I'm going to be doing a video of my January reset. So kind of similar to this episode, but it's going to be very specific to the month of January instead of the whole year of 2024, and also share how I set up and how I'm filling out my doodle journal for the first time. And really, it's not a doodle journal. I guess it is and it's not, because it's a doodle planner. So doodle planner, doodle journal, which think of it as coloring book, planner, and journal all in one. And mine is like a teddy fabric, so it's super cute with like dark brown accents and it's light brown on the outside. And I really want to stick to actually filling it out every month and reflecting on every month in it and using it to its full potential, because I think it can be very therapeutic and very helpful for me. So I really want to stick to it, and I'm feeling very inspired from having it. So that's very exciting for me, because I was a little nervous I was going to get it and then not really feel that inspired to fill it out. But my goal is to really just have like no expectations with it. You know, it doesn't need to look perfect. Like, I've already colored one page and I colored outside of the lines. The very first page I colored literally just looks like a child threw up on it with markers, because I didn't really think through complementary colors and it just looks terrible. So nobody's going to see, actually the YouTube channel will probably see it, but nobody's going to see the intro page where it says like this planner belongs to, because the color scheme is atrocious. So I need to do better about pairing colors for the rest of it. But anyways, I definitely want to stick to doing like keeping up with my doodle journal and reflecting in it and everything like that, because I think it can be very beneficial. And I'm excited to get that video edited and up on YouTube. Even if it's later in January, I still think it'll be fun for y'all to see, because it'll be different content. And I don't know, it's really nice because I'll be able to track my mood and all those kinds of things and my habits as well. So I'm looking forward to that and I really want to stick to it. So I think that I can do it, but I've really got to commit to it. And going off of that, I also want to just journal at least once a month. Last year, I put journal once a week as a goal of mine, and I think that was a little ambitious coming from somebody who pretty much only like maybe quarterly journals at most. It was a lot to go from not even starting out once a month and to just jump into, oh, I want to journal every single week. Like, that was a little unrealistic of me to expect of myself. So I would like to journal at least once a month, and I have found I'm a lot better about journaling when I'm going through tough things, unfortunately, because that's when it's easier for me to kind of do the stream of consciousness writing. However, I know that journaling is just as beneficial, maybe even more beneficial, when you're journaling about the highlights in your life and practicing gratitude. And I don't want to only rely on it when I'm going through difficult times and dark seasons. I want it to be a practice that I commit to because of the benefits it provides me and how it helps me to be intentional with practicing gratitude and everything. And I always notice a huge difference in how my mental health and how my emotional health feels after I do so. So I would like to just sort of commit to doing it once a month. And I think that if I can implement it as a habit along with filling out my doodle journal every month and kind of just stack those habits together in one sitting, say the last Sunday of every month, I sit down, I fill out my doodle journal for that month, and then I journal for the month. And if I do that all at once, I will be kind of stacking those habits and making sure I'm holding myself accountable to both of them in a way. So the next personal one is to keep exploring new music and artists. And I say this especially after having like a good 2023 with music. I feel like I didn't really branch out, I would say, in 2023, but I definitely discovered a lot more artists in 2023 and found new love for them. So I really am hoping to explore some new music. And I know I talked about my frustrations with Spotify and everything, but I'm hoping that maybe I can just commit to listening to my Discover Weekly playlist on Spotify more often and finding new artists and music that way. but I want to keep doing that because it's just one of those things that keeps life exciting. Despite the routine and the mundane day-to-day that we experience a lot of times, it truly does keep things more exciting. So I'm looking forward to that. And the next thing is to read 20 books. Y'all, I have one request from you all for the entire year of 2024. And I'm so sure of this request that I am asking you before the year has even started. I am on my hands and knees begging you to watch my 2023 Reading Wrapped YouTube video when it comes out. Because I had posted on my Instagram story and asked what form of content y'all wanted to see my reading recap, which I know I talked about this in a recent episode, but since last year I did a reading recap on the podcast and I had y'all vote and most people said YouTube, which I love, love it. I have a horrible memory when it comes to recalling books. There are several books I read in 2023, and I couldn't even begin to tell you how the book ended. However, there are other books where I'm like, no, I do remember, you know, this happened, but I just definitely don't remember details. It always just blows my mind when people are like reading a really dense, intricate series, especially fantasy series, and they pick up on all the little Easter eggs in each book. Like, you know, say you're reading the fourth book of a fantasy series and you're like, I remember so-and-so saying this in book one, like this is tied to that statement or this is like a wink to that action or something. And I'm like, how do you recall what you read in the first book in that much detail? Like, I think that part of it's probably attributed to my, just the stress that I've experienced in the last couple of years. I feel like I haven't been able to fully be present when I've been reading and my mind has just been really on overdrive for the last 2 years. So I think that because of all of that mental clutter and chaos, I haven't been able to like recall as much with books as I typically would. Cause I don't think I've always been this way. Cause there's books I read when I was like in high school and I can like literally remember lines from them. But in the last like 5 years, anything I've read, I mean, once I close the book and I'm done with it, I'm really gonna remember like the very basics of the plot. And if I'm lucky, I remember both of the main characters' names or the few main characters' names. Sometimes I can't even remember that much. Like I was literally planning, and this is why I'm asking you all to watch this video, because I was like, all right, we're going to do it on YouTube, y'all. Well, I was going to just sit down and like just pull up my Goodreads and scroll through it and talk about things as I go. And I'm like, okay, that's not what a good YouTuber would do. A good YouTuber wouldn't just like wing a reading recap when they can't even recall what half of these books were about. So what did I do last night and this morning and this afternoon and this evening? I probably spent a cumulative total of about 10 hours when I have so many other things I need to be doing, planning this episode. I haven't even filmed it or edited it yet. Or not planning this episode, planning this YouTube video. And it took me so much longer than I realized because this was my process. I was going through my Goodreads, which unfortunately, I didn't write reviews for every book I read this year. So some of them I'm able to kind of pull from the reviews I already wrote. Some of them I'm having to like read the synopsis of the book to kind of get an idea of what it was about. And then, you know, put in my notes how I felt about it or how I remember feeling about it. I was going through my book Instagram highlight and my Instagram highlight archive to find the Instagram stories from when I finished books, especially the ones that I didn't write reviews for on Goodreads, so that I could see what I said on my Instagram story at least to jog my memory. And then I was writing like a brief little summary, but without trying to give any spoilers for each of them, kind of talking about the tropes of each of the books. And it is a very well-planned video, let me tell you that much. I am putting my heart and soul into it. I would really love to edit it very, very well. And I don't even know what that looks like for a reading video, but I would like to add, you know, some fun overlays and like pictures of the cover of the books. And that's going to take a lot of time, but I don't know if I'm going to have time to do all of that before the honeymoon. So whether or not this video goes up before this episode or not, I would love it if you could show that video some love, because I am putting my heart and soul into it and I would greatly appreciate it, because I know that it's probably not going to perform as well. Actually, I'm not going to put that out there. Who knows? Maybe it could be the video that gets me a bunch of new subscribers because it will help me reach a whole new audience of people. Let's think positively and think that way, actually. But who knows? I just, you know, doing a video that's out of my comfort zone. I've honestly never done a book dedicated video on my YouTube channel in my 7 years of being on YouTube. So I would love to kind of crack open that cage by doing this, and I would greatly appreciate your support if you're into that kind of content. So I want to read 20 books this year, though, and that's my goal. And I realized when I was planning, I didn't think it would take me this long to plan the video because I genuinely felt like I had only read like 10 books this year, but it turns out I read 19, I think. So this year, my goal is 20. I think I can probably read a lot more than that, given the fact that I'm not going to be in busy season in the front half of the year and everything. So I will have more time to read, but you never know. I'm also in the middle of reading the Throne of Glass series right now, and those are some hefty, hefty books. So I know those will take me a little bit more time, but we'll see. 20 books is the goal as of right now. So if I far surpass that, amazing. But I know I can do it because I read 19 this past year and this was the busiest year of my life. The next thing is to take an anniversary trip to New York City for our 1 year anniversary. I have wanted to experience Christmas in the city so badly for so long. I've been to New York City once and it was, gosh, 2019, I think. And my fiance and I went with my parents and we did like all the touristy stuff when we went that weekend because we were there for like 48 hours. We didn't use the subway system because none of us really knew how to and we didn't want to like eat time by doing so. And none of us really had time to study it and figure it out beforehand. So we walked pretty much everywhere and then we took Ubers when it was absolutely necessary. We walked 24 miles in 48 hours. I was in some cheap boots from ASOS that were about $30. When I tell y'all, I couldn't feel my Achilles tendon for 3.5 weeks after that. I'm not kidding. Don't walk 24 miles in, you know, basically single digit temperatures the first week of February in New York in $30 boots that weren't made for walking. So learned a lesson there. But with all that being said, my dream for so many years has been to experience Christmas time in New York City. It just seriously seems so magical, and I think it would be so fun for us to go there. I don't really want to go there for Christmas because I really like being home for Christmas, and I know next year I'm really going to want to be in Florida for Christmas because I know my brother and sister-in-law will be, and it'll be like our first married Christmas, and I'm not going home to Florida for Christmas this year, so I would love to go back next year. But I imagine that they keep the holiday decorations up until New Year's Eve-ish or New Year's Day at least. So I would love to take an anniversary trip and experience like Christmas in New York and just be there for our 1 year anniversary, like on New Year's Eve with the ball drop and everything. But honestly, like I'd be totally fine going before Christmas too and kind of treating it as our anniversary trip, even if we aren't physically there on New Year's Eve, because I would honestly rather have the Christmas spirit and do the whole Christmas bit in New York City than do the New Year's Eve bit in New York City, if that makes sense. So that's just kind of a little personal goal that I set for us as a couple, which I haven't told my fiance about it, but I'm sure he's down. And the next thing is to travel somewhere new. I kind of like love putting this on my list every year because I'm really bad about just going back and visiting home in Florida, which is great. Like, I'm so thankful to have somewhere so great to go back to. And I typically will visit my friends before I like go travel new places. But I'm going to be checking this one off the first 2 weeks of 2024. And I just realized that because of our honeymoon. So I'm really excited for that. I'm not going to say, well, I guess you guys know where we're going, but I don't want to like say the specific dates or anything, but I am excited to travel somewhere new. And even outside of the honeymoon, I'd love to travel somewhere new more than once. That would be really awesome if we can make it work. And the next personal goal and the last one is to get ready for the day and put more effort into my outfits and my overall appearance when I'm going out and about, even if I'm just going to like pick up coffee, run errands, whatever. I will say in like this last quarter of the year, I've kind of tried to put a little bit more effort into my outfits and everything when I'm just like running to go get a coffee on the weekends or whatever. But this one's definitely difficult to do because I mean, it's one of those things that's like time consuming when it doesn't have to be. Like I can very easily throw on, you know, anything that is in my closet and not really like piece together an outfit and very easily just not really care about my appearance and go get a coffee or go run errands. But I just feel so much better about myself when I do make myself look a little bit more put together. And that doesn't even mean putting on makeup or anything. It's just like intentionally putting together an outfit, making sure I do my skincare, maybe putting on like a little bit of concealer and brow gel or something, just like a little bit, taking a little bit of an extra step because I do feel a lot better with it. And I'm not saying I need to do this every single time. I just want to, you know, make an effort in doing so most of the time. because it does make a big difference. And I think I have the biggest issue with this in the summertime. I'm really good about doing this, I feel like, in the winter, just because it's a lot easier to style cute clothes in the winter. In the summer, I'm like, it's way too hot to be putting on anything unnecessary. I don't want to be in anything denim related in the summer because it's just so hot and uncomfortable. And then wearing athletic clothes, it's just hard to like feel put together, but I think there's ways you can still do it. And it's just so hot, I don't want to put on makeup. I normally just throw my hair back because it's so humid, and that's usually more of the issue. And I have to like fight myself to not just throw on a ginormous oversized t-shirt on myself and some running shorts and stick to my like college outfit that I have definitely outgrown in terms of my age. So the next pillar is health and wellness. And for health and wellness goals, I want to maintain my fitness routine, which I believe that I am able to keep my gym pass subscription, which is huge news because I can still go to F45 unlimited amount of times a month at a better price than I would otherwise be able to go. And F45 has just really changed my life in terms of my fitness, the way I view working out, and my strength and just my consistency with it, because I truly went, as long as I was in town, I was going 4 to 6 times a week all year, usually 4 to 5. I very rarely went 6 times. So I'll say 4 to 5 times a week all year long, very consistently. The only times I took time off were if I was sick or traveling. And I did all of that out of desire. And I know I talked about this in my 2023 episode. I truly feel like I found a workout that just like works for me in this phase of my life. And I honestly just see it always working for me because of the variety in it and how it's always changing, and it's just hard to get bored with it. So I love that for myself, and I want to maintain that fitness routine. And I also want to maintain a balanced morning routine with going into this transitional phase of not having a traditional 9 to 5. I really don't want to fall off my balanced morning routine that I have developed. You know, I don't want to start, you know, sleeping in really late and kind of getting really late starts on the day, because when I do that, I just am overall not as, I don't know, I don't feel as good throughout the day. I'm not as productive of a person, which is fine, but anything that I want to do, I have a harder time even doing those things when I kind of let myself slip into those habits. And I want to keep working out first thing early in the morning, because when the time comes that, say I do get a new job, I don't want to have to like completely redo my entire routine all over again, because that's a very strenuous process. That's really hard to like get yourself back into a routine if you've been out of it for a while. So even if it's not, you know, maybe going to like the 6:30 a.m. workout class, maybe I'm going to like the one after that instead. But honestly, I think 6:30 a.m. is still so doable with not working a full-time job. Like, I don't want to be getting in the habit of staying up really late or anything like that. So I'd really like to maintain my balanced morning routine with working out first thing in the morning, like getting it over with for the day, and taking some time to myself to read and just be still in the morning before getting started with any work. So I want to maintain that. And the next thing is to have one social media detox day a month. I set this as a resolution last year and I did not do it at all. So definitely want to be a little bit more intentional about actually following through with this. And the way I'm going to do that is schedule it in advance. So I am hoping to kind of just block off the day. Like, I can literally put my little planner and put on my Google Calendar so that it's like synced up and just say, okay, social media day on that Saturday or whatever. And I know I can do it. It's just something that if I don't plan it, I'm going to forget about it. So I need to plan it. And the next thing is to go to a church. And this one's huge for me, because if you've heard me talk about any of this stuff in the podcast or on my YouTube channel, I really struggle with getting myself to go back to a church, because I have just experienced and seen some hypocrisy I'm not, who am I to judge, you know what I mean? But just things that don't sit well with me in terms of treating people as human beings at the end of the day. And, you know, that is something that's hard for me to separate from the church as like an institution. And I am trying to lean more into my faith. And that's also, you know, kind of a personal goal, which I guess I didn't list on here, but I think that I kind of had it in with the go to church under my health and wellness section. I kind of was lumping it into that, but kind of getting, wanting to get more in touch with my faith and like prioritizing it more instead of just putting it on the back burner. And I've said before, you know, I just struggle because, you know, the stereotypical, I guess, way that churches are, especially in regard to a lot of social issues, I'm not in alignment with. So it's really hard for me to get myself to go somewhere and, I don't know, be somewhere where I'm not in alignment with totally. But I mean, I guess that that's kind of the case with a lot of things in life. You're not going to be fully in alignment with everything. But at the same time, there are certain things where it's just like, I don't agree with that. So I'm not going to, you know, surround myself with it, I guess. So with that being said, I'm hoping to find somewhere that is maybe a little bit less old age minded, I guess you could say, and, you know, actually practices what they preach and everything. And I'm not saying this from a holier than thou perspective. I'm just saying that I myself have experienced things and I have seen other people be treated poorly when they shouldn't be in certain situations. So, and I'll leave it at that, but it is something that I want to do. So if you know of a church that's, you know, I guess better in those regards in Houston, let me know. My therapist said that she knew of some because I like kind of was talking to her about this one time, but I don't think I ever followed up with her and asked her what they were. So I should probably do that. So with that being said, that's everything in my health and wellness section. I don't have that much, and I didn't want to put a lot in here because I think despite all of the struggles that I went through in 2023 with regard to like my mental and emotional health, I still did a good job of like making sure I was prioritizing rest. I mean, there were definitely times where I didn't when I should have, but I think I became a lot more aware of doing it when I really needed to and that kind of thing. And overall, just taking better care of my mental health, I think I did a better job with. So I'm really hoping to keep up a lot of the habits that I established in 2023 with regards to my health and wellness, like I said, with like the fitness routine. I feel like I ate very balanced and like really focused on, you know, eating nutritional meals in 2023, and I want to continue that in 2024 as well. So there are definitely things that I did in 2023 that I'm wanting to continue in 2024, but I didn't necessarily put them on this health and wellness list. The next pillar is financial, and I want to just purchase less things overall and just purchase higher quality things instead of, you know, fast fashion. And whether that's through, you know, thrifting something that's of better quality because it was like made a long time ago and made better, or if it's, you know, saving up money for something that I have planned to spend my money on instead of just, you know, being impatient and doing the quick gratification of buying the cheaper thing now. I think that this is just something that I'm wanting to kind of adopt overall going into really my whole adulthood, not even 2024, but I think as I get older, it's just something I want to focus on more. And the next thing is to build my emergency fund to $15,000. So my emergency fund, I've always liked to have it at $10,000 because that's just the number that has always made sense to me, but I want to build it up to $15,000. I'm like right under 10 right now, and that's just because I had to dip into it for taxes this year in 2023, and I wasn't really able to contribute as much to it as I would have liked to after having to dip into it for taxes because of having to pay for wedding-related things. So it's still fine where it's at right now, but I would really like to build it up to $15,000 because I just think that that would be really, I feel good about my current emergency fund, but I want to feel great about it. And I just want to challenge myself with that savings goal. And I think that it's doable. And I also just think that it's something that I just would feel even better at the end of the day if it was 15, you know what I mean? And I have, you know, it's not that money that I have in my emergency fund. It is not money that like got there overnight. Like it's been, you know, several years of me saving money. And I will say like, I was able to save a lot of that during 2022, I guess, when I was working my full-time job and I wasn't like paying for wedding related things. I was able to save pretty much all of my paychecks from my corporate job. A lot of that money, pretty much, I think the vast majority of it went towards our new home. And, you know, the way my fiance and I split up our costs with that, it was, you know, kind of based on, like, I make more than him, and that's because I literally have, like, worked two jobs, and that's totally fine. So I was like, okay, obviously I'm going to contribute more towards, you know, purchasing this home, but he covered a lot more of, like, the, those, like, last costs that you have, like, with closing costs, and he helped out with some of the, like, other payments that we had to do in terms of, like, the premiums for, like, home insurance, flood insurance, that kind of thing that you kind of have to pay right when you're moving in, and a little bit of the down payment as well. But I put a lot of money that I had saved throughout 2022 towards our down payment. And there was still some left over. And a lot of that I was able to roll over into my emergency fund that was a lot smaller when I was in college, honestly. Like, it just wasn't that big. And, you know, I definitely should have saved a lot more when I was in college, but I didn't. I mean, I think that I was definitely frivolously spending to try and, like, keep up with the Joneses, I guess you could say, in terms of, you know, always trying to make sure I, like, felt like I fit in by having the trendy clothes and that kind of thing. And, you know, it takes a lot to, like, admit to that, but I mean, it was the truth. And I honestly just hadn't ever been in a position where I had disposable income the way that I did in my last, like, 2 years of college that I got from doing YouTube. And while I was saving money, I could have been saving so much more, but I was just spending a lot that I didn't necessarily need to be. And it's okay. I learned from it. And there were, you know, there were big things that I did save. I started paying off my student loans a little bit early and did things like that, but I still think I could have done a better job in terms of, you know, not spending so frivolously then, but I'm going on a tangent. So ultimately, I would love to build my emergency fund to $15,000. And, you know, full transparency, like I said, I was barely able to contribute anything to it in 2024 or in 2023 because of paying for wedding related things and having other things sneak up. Like, we had to get a new AC unit, which thankfully was under warranty, or under our home warranty. So it wasn't, you know, $10,000. It was like $1,000, but that's still a lot of money. And paying for wedding related things and also having to start paying the student loan payments monthly, things like that, you know, obviously impacted my ability to throw money at my emergency fund. And instead of it being, you know, putting hundreds of dollars a month, like I like doing, it was just putting, you know, maybe $100 in when I could, or putting in like $20 to $50 every few weeks or something when I would, like, remember to and that kind of thing. So full transparency, I just wasn't really able to prioritize that as a goal in 2023 because of everything, but I'm still grateful I even have one and had one to begin with. So, you know, I don't want anyone to hear that. And, you know, I know our nature is to compare ourselves when we start hearing other people's situations, but seriously, like, comparison is not going to get you anywhere good and not going to lead you anywhere beneficial mentally, when, especially when it comes to finances, but overall in life, you know, like, everybody's journey is completely different. All of the variables that are at play are completely different for everyone as well. So that's just a big goal of mine, because I think that it would just be really great if I could build it up to that. So, and going off of that, the next thing is to start investing again. And I literally have, like, barely anything in the stock market, but I would like to get more in the stock market because I just don't have much in there. But I also am really wanting to prioritize paying off, you know, my debt that does have, you know, higher interest rates, like some of my student loans. So once I hopefully, you know, I'm able to get those paid off, I think that I can really start heavily investing again. But which I say heavily investing again, I've never been heavily investing. So I can really start heavily investing to begin with once I get those done. But when I say start investing again, I'm not sitting here saying, like, I want to throw $1,000 at the stock market every month. No, I'm saying literally just putting like $20, like, when I can, you know, like, because it's better than nothing at the end of the day. So I want to make that a priority. And next is to create a budget with my current fiance, soon to be husband. We definitely want to sit down and put our heads together, like, throw all our expenses in one, you know, file on Excel, and throw all our income in one Excel, really get an overall high-level picture of what we're looking at and break it down and create a budget that we can, you know, loosely live off of. I'm not a big believer in, I mean, I am a big believer in them in certain seasons of life, but I don't like restrictive budgets, but I like having something to go by just as like a template and a guide. And I think that that's the healthiest way to have a budget, but I do know that sometimes your life circumstances call for having, you know, a very strict budget. And I've been there with that. Like early college, that was absolutely me. So I would really like to have something just as like an overall template, just so we know, okay, about how much should we be putting in savings a month? You know, like how much should I be looking at putting into, I don't know, like any sinking funds or emergency fund each month. And it's really hard to identify those amounts if you don't sit down and create a budget to begin with. And I created like a budget for myself at the beginning of 2023, and it was really helpful for myself because I felt like I avoided doing it because I was really scared to see where I was at. So it was almost like this act of avoidance because I didn't want to do it and then realize I wasn't in as good of a place as I thought and then have to admit that to myself. So I really avoided doing it, but I sat down and forced myself to do it, and I actually realized I was in a much better position than I thought. So I highly encourage you to do it just because, you know, the best way to be on top of your finances is to be open and honest with yourself and anyone else involved with them, in my opinion. Because I was the type of person, I've had a horrible relationship with money my entire life, and it's something that I'm really trying to work on. And because of that, I have been scared to create budgets at times because I'm scared that I am not in a great position. But doing so like actually allowed me to see, you know, oh, it's all in my head and I'm actually okay and it's gonna be okay. So I encourage you to do that. And even if you do that and you realize you're not in as good of a place as you thought, then you at least know what you need to pivot on and fix. You know what I mean? And it's not like you're just crossing your fingers and hope that things fix themselves, which I know is easy to do when you have a bad relationship with money. And the next thing is to implement no spend days and then maybe transition that into weeks if I can. I want to say last year I said do a no spend month, and that was just so ambitious considering I had never even done a no spend really day or week at all intentionally. Like I do unintentionally have no spend days, of course, but intentionally having them is just as important. So just like with the no social media day a month, I want to do the same thing with no spend days, just kind of like block off a day, which I know it's harder to do like super far in advance, like even a month in advance, because you never really know necessarily what your schedule is going to look like. But even if I can like tentatively plan a day, if I need to move it, I need to move it, cool. But I can at least try and plan for it. So that's a loss of financial. Now going into career, I have several things here. And the first one is to be intentional with my job search. I don't want to settle, obviously, within reason. I'm not going to be like the pickiest person alive going into whatever my next job is, because I know I'm literally just at the very beginning of my career, literally in the first 2 years of my career, and I can't be as picky as I would probably like to be. But I do want to make sure I'm not settling within reason, of course. And I just really want to sit down and kind of put down on paper, you know, what am I looking for in this next role and this next job. And it's hard for me to sit down and do that when I don't even know if it's going to be like another corporate job or not. But I still think I can sit down and at the end of the day, kind of hash out the things that I'm looking for and the things that I'm trying to avoid with my next job. And ultimately, going along with that, identifying my boundaries ahead of time so that I can set them on day one. Because I went into my big four job with way too open of a mind. And I think it's good to go in with an open mind. But like I've said before, you need to have an open mind, but establish boundaries. I didn't have boundaries and it destroyed me. And I absolutely think it's a must. And obviously boundaries have to be within reason as well, depending on the nature of the job you work. Like I'm not going to sit here and say I'm never working past 5 p.m. as a tax accountant, because that's just not the nature of the job. But I can set other boundaries, you know, like I'm gonna log off for 2 hours every evening at least to, you know, whether, I guess I should say during busy season, because like obviously I'm gonna log off for more than 2 hours when it's not busy season. But for busy season, I could have said things like I'm gonna log off for 2 hours in the evening so that I can cook dinner, spend time with my fiance, work out if I need to, whatever. And that kind of thing. I didn't even do that. I just kind of did things as I had time for them, aka never. So that just like wasn't a good plan of action. So I think if I can identify my boundaries ahead of time, I can, you know, set them from day one, and that will be really helpful because it's, you know, you can't set boundaries if you don't identify them. So got to identify them first. And the next thing, I mean, honestly, this whole bucket of career related things, it's a crossover of my actual career and it's a crossover of content creation, which is also my actual career. But when I say my actual career, I just mean like traditional job speaking. And the next thing has to do with, you know, more traditional job as well. And then the rest of them are related to content creation. But the next thing is to just find clarity with where I'm going next. And it's hard to set this as a resolution because it's not necessarily something I can guarantee for myself, but I want to really, you know, be intentional about the search. Like I said, I want to really pray about it because that's just how I find peace and clarity with a lot of things. And I think that that could help me a lot. And I really just want to, you know, kind of feel peace about where I'm going next and find clarity in regard to that at some point in 2024, hopefully. And the next thing is starting off the content creation stuff. You guessed it, 100,000 subscribers. It's been on my list the past probably 4 years. I had a very like quick growth on YouTube, which I'm very thankful for. But it's been, you know, very slow and steady for the last like, 4 years, I would say, which is totally fine. But we are like on the cusp of 100,000. So subscribe if you're not subscribed. If you do like lifestyle content, I do upload weekly on YouTube. But ultimately, would love to hit 100,000 subscribers. I'm sitting at like 96 right now, I think. So that would be super exciting if I could hit it in 2024. And the next thing is to brand my YouTube channel. I really want to like sit down and really reinvest in my editing, because basically what I've been doing for the last 2 years is what I like to call bare minimum editing, which is just, you know, doing my rough cuts and adding the text overlays and adding in music and having an intro and an outro screen, like end screen, which honestly having an intro and an end screen is probably a little bit more than bare minimum editing, but that's just all I had time for. And I really want to find some fonts, which shout out to Jenna Hong again for this, because she was talking about like how her, in her video of how she edits her videos, she was talking about some resources she uses in terms of like fonts she can find and stuff. I think it's called Creative Market is the one that I looked at, and I found a bunch of fonts that I like, and I want to kind of narrow them down, find some like font pairings that I can consistently use across all of my content so that I really develop a strong personal brand on YouTube again, and, you know, create my own overlays, maybe that kind of thing. And really just rebrand my YouTube channel in a way. Not anything crazy in terms of rebranding, but more so just like kind of coming up with my own little toolkit that I can consistently use. And the next thing is to get 25,000 on Instagram. I have been stagnant on Instagram as well for a while, and it's been kind of like this constant limbo between the number I've been at, or not 25K, I'm sorry, 30K. I'm at 25.3K right now, but I would love to hit 30K. I feel like I've been in the 24, 25K realm for like several years now. And a lot of times it's like I'm just bouncing between the 100, like 25.3 and 25.2. But I'm actually really close to 25.4 right now, which is really cool because I'm finally like growing again and not like declining, which is great. But ultimately, this one's been something that I've been trying to just remind myself as part of the overall process, because this year is the first year, like 2023 was the first year that I started consistently uploading to Instagram Reels like every single week, and I didn't really start doing that until probably like May, I would say, or maybe April. And in doing so, you know, I'm pumping out a lot more content, and there are people who have probably followed me like since middle school, or people who followed me and didn't really think I was going to be posting that much, and they're like, oh, like I'm not really going to engage with any of this content ever, so they unfollowed me, which I don't take it personally. I'm like, no, like if anything, I have to accept that in posting more often, I have to accept that I'm going to be probably losing some followers because it's a change in my frequency of content, and that's fine. Like I'm going to be weeding out anyone who doesn't engage or interact with my content since I am posting more often, but that's a good thing. Like just because it's not growth doesn't mean it's not a good thing, because getting rid of those followers and like losing followers because it's people who aren't going to engage and interact with my content in the first place, like that's only going to help me in the long run, because I want people following me who, you know, truly want to consume my content and want to interact with it and everything like that, or want to see it and engage with it. So with that being said, it's okay if I have to lose people in the process of doing so. And the next thing is to have 5 guests on the podcast. I'm not a big guest heavy podcast, as y'all know. I really just love having our one-on-one or one-on however many conversations. It just feels one-on-one to me. And it's not because I don't like guests. It's just because I haven't had time to do guests, obviously, with when I was a full-time college student studying for the CPA and then working full-time. But there are people who I would absolutely love to have on the podcast that I think could bring so much value to the podcast and to you all. And I really want to make it a goal to like reach out to those people, very intentionally plan questions for them. And I really only like to bring people on here who can, you know, bring value for you all, because I've done interviews in the past and I've just been like, oh my gosh, that didn't really go how I thought it was going to go. And it's, you know, a bummer. And I want to be intentional about who comes on it. And nobody that's come on like recently or anything, when I say that, like I'm talking about like a long time ago. And I think that having 5 is just like a realistic goal. I was going to say 12 to have one every month, but that's honestly like a little ambitious, because like as of right now, I can only think of like probably 5 people that I would truly like want to come on to the podcast because of what they have to say and what they have to contribute and everything like that. Because I want it to stay on theme and on brand with the things I talk about on the podcast for the most part, obviously. So, and going off of that, I would love to get ad read sponsorships for the podcast. I don't know how people like just start podcasts and from the get-go, they have ad read sponsorships. If anybody like works in anything related to that, can you tell me like how that's even a thing? And not because like I'm like, oh, I need it. I need the money in my pocket and I want it now. That's not why I'm curious. I'm like genuinely curious. Like I didn't even know that was a thing or possible, but I swear there's so many people who just like start a podcast and right out the gate, they have like ad reads from like different cool brands and everything. And I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. Like I've been doing my podcast for, you know, 5 years almost, and or 4 years, I guess. And I do like the ones that I get through Spotify for Podcasters, which is the Spotify for Podcaster ad. And then they allowed the ads to be enabled, like the automatic ads, which I have those. But I really want to have like ad read sponsorships where I have a script and I record the ads and I submit them to the brand for brands that I truly like love, because I feel like it's just another way to make the podcast more personal. And, you know, maybe if I have more of those, I could do less of like the random automated ones that are based on where you're at and your location and everything like that. So I don't know. I just think it would be cool and like a big step for the podcast. So it's definitely a goal of mine. And the next thing is to get more comfortable on TikTok and find my niche on TikTok. And I don't even like saying that, because I feel like I know my niche on TikTok. It's just I don't know. I like TikTok as a consumer sometimes, but I don't love it as a creator, just because I just feel like there's so much pressure, but there's no pressure at the same time. And I just feel like I can't stay caught up with it. And I have a hard time like just creating TikTok specific content, because I feel like a lot of TikTok specific content is just very random when it comes to like what videos I see from like other creators and stuff. Like it's just, I feel like the things that do well on TikTok, and not that I'm wanting to create content on TikTok just for it to do well, but I want it to all be in alignment with my personal brand and my personal values and everything. But it's just hard, because it truly is a completely different platform in terms of, you know, how you approach the content you create. Like I kind of have a same general mindset when it comes to the way I approach creating content on Instagram and YouTube, for example. Like it's a very similar thought process with brainstorming and everything. But with TikTok, it's completely different, because I just feel like it's a lot more random and chaotic, and there isn't really like a structure to it. So I thought I was fine, like not really having a structure and plan and intentions on TikTok, but I'm now realizing like I don't want to just be posting on there because I feel like I have to post on there. Like I want to find content specific to me posting on TikTok that I'm only posting on TikTok and I can, I don't know, add value in some way with. I know I do like a lot of my makeup videos and stuff like that on there, but I still just don't even feel like they belong on there sometimes. But I feel like I just need to talk more on TikTok, and that's my issue. But I haven't really had, that's the thing. It's like with having a podcast and a YouTube channel and my Instagram, having like another platform to talk on, it's just like, at what point is there too much crossover between things? You know what I mean? So I just need to like really brainstorm with TikTok. Last but not least, in the career section, is to maintain and maybe even add to my 3 times a week reel uploading schedule on Instagram for Instagram Reels, because I've been doing the 3 times a week for, I think, since maybe August-ish, so, or maybe October, I can't really remember, but I think it's been really great for me. I've seen it help in terms of just having more engagement with you guys and interacting with you guys, and then also just, you know, kind of creating a strong personal brand on my Instagram. Whereas before, I feel like you would go to my Instagram and it wasn't really like you could tell I was a content creator necessarily, because I just kind of didn't really have a rhyme or reason to my posting. And now I'm like very intentional with trying to hit like my main pillars of content and everything, and planning ahead for the reels and really creating content that I truly love. And I feel like it shows that I really love creating it. So I want to keep up with that. I don't want to necessarily just go up to 4 to 5 times a week just for the sake of to say I'm uploading that many times a week. Like, I want it to be very intentional because I actually have that many ideas and I can execute on them and everything like that. So I want to maintain that, and I would love to even like cross that over to TikTok, but have like completely separate, for the most part, content on TikTok. And now going in the social, the first thing is to host more at our home. We've lived here for a while and we really have not hosted much at all. We had like people come over and watch the football game when we first moved in, before we were like even fully unboxed. And we've had like friends over maybe twice, which is crazy, in the last year. Like, it just doesn't happen that often, and I want to host more because I do enjoy hosting. I don't think I'm like this impeccable host by any means, but I enjoy sharing our home with other people, and I just think it like makes your home feel so much more lively and full of joy. So I would love to host more at home, and I feel like I have a lot more things to help with hosting after having our wedding registry and like some of the hosting related things that we put on our registry and everything like that. So I think that I am more well equipped to do so now. And the next thing is to attend a book club. I really want to do this in 2024. I'm really scared to show up to one alone though in Houston, like one for like safety reasons. Like, what if it's like a catfish book club and it's not actually a book club? Like, how do you trust that what you're attending is actually a book club? I guess not everybody's a skeptic like I am, but I don't know. I worry about that. And then I also just don't want to show up to one by myself, even if it is a legitimate book club, because I'm scared. I hate going into social situations like that alone, like group situations alone, especially when everybody else knows each other and I'm like the one that doesn't know anybody, or I only know like one person. That's my worst social nightmare, and I've lived it so many times. So I really would love to attend a book club though at some point, but I do have a few friends I think that I could like ask to, well, really I'm just thinking of one person when I say that, because it's my friend from work that we read a lot of the same books, and I know that she's talked about wanting to go to one, so I know she would probably do it with me if I said we should go do it, but we have to find one first, you know what I mean? And the very last thing is to reinvest in friendships and my social life, because like I said in the 2023 episode and in this episode already, I have truly just neglected my social life and friendships over the last year in terms of having good quality time in most of them. Not saying I've neglected it in terms of like, oh, I've just like let my friendships, you know, fall off the rocker. Like, that's not the case. I've still hung out with friends and I still communicated with people and, you know, kept up with everyone and everything, but it's just been bare minimum, and I really need to and want to reinvest in my friendships outside of the bare minimum and have more friend dates and everything like that, get outside of my comfort zone and make new friends and that kind of thing. So just because I was so antisocial the last year, basically, but like I said in my 2023 episode, a lot of that, or in my quitting my job episode, a lot of it was because I was so drained of every ounce of energy I had to give because of my job, that going to do anything social, it just depleted my energy to do so. So now that I'm no longer in that situation, I know it's not going to be like this overnight fix to my social battery and my energy, but I know that it's something I can work at little by little, and with time it'll get better, and it's just something I want to focus on in 2024. But that is all I have for this week's episode. I don't know why my throat is so dry right now and I'm like struggling to speak. I don't know if you guys can tell, but it is like pins and needles right now just from the dryness. So I need to go get some water. I think I'm going to drink some tea too. But thank you all so much for listening. I hope that it inspired you to sit down and identify your pillars of focus and a word for the year for 2024 and just got you excited about 2024 and all the goals and habits you have for yourself. And like I always say, you don't have to have these all figured out and set before the new year starts. You can do this on January 1st. You can do this on December 24th. You can do this on January 19th. You can do this on August 3rd, whenever you want. This is just like the time of year that they're obviously most, you know, common and popularized. So you can reset and set goals for yourself whenever you want, but hopefully this was inspiring for you to do so whenever it may be for you. So I love you all, and be sure to follow In Bloom Podcast on Instagram, and I will talk to you all next week.